Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Yes, hi again. It's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm an author of books regarding sexless marriages. I'm not a self-help doctor or a therapist of any kind. I'm a sufferer just like you. Went through the entire ringing process of not having sex in my marriage for a great number of years, and eventually I did something about it, and I'll tell you more about that towards the end. But I ended up putting some of the story into a book. It's fiction where fact drives the narrative. As I said, I will talk more about that towards the end of the podcast, but this particular podcast episode is about, is sexual denial actually sexual abuse? You probably haven't thought about it that way. Maybe you have. I know most of the people I've spoken to who have recently found themselves in a sexless marriage haven't thought about it that way at all. They talk about being busy, being dedicated to their work, their children, their family, whatever, and things just get in the way. But for those people who are long-term sexless marriage sufferers, such as I was a few years back, the pain is very real. Now, maybe they haven't drawn the same line that I do, that sexual denial is a form of sexual abuse. But if you ask them deep enough, does it hurt? Who's causing the pain? They certainly won't say themselves. Somebody else is causing that pain. And remember, in sex, it takes two people to play, but only one person to stop the game. What do you do? How are you supposed to feel? Normally, sexual abuse is related to another kind of social misgiving, and we relate to that far more often. You hear it in the media. Someone forces themselves upon another person, unwanted sexual advances, sexual abuse, rape, and so on. We hear about these forms of sexual abuse all the time, and our mind immediately leaps across to that side. If you were to go out into public right now and say, look, my spouse is sexually abusing me by denying me sex, I think a lot of people would end up laughing at you. The only ones that wouldn't are the ones who are suffering in the same way. Now, I don't think anybody really takes this part seriously, and there's nowhere to go to. You can't walk into a shop or into a counseling room and say, look, you know, my partner is abusing me by not providing me with sex. Maybe you would be taken seriously, but perhaps it would be turned around that what are you doing wrong to stop the sex from happening in your marriage? Well, the simple fact is you might not be doing anything wrong. You may have done everything right, and it's your partner who has decided to drop out of the sexual game, leaving you with nowhere left to go. And you feel hurt. It's painful. You may have to seek stimulation somewhere else, or maybe even romance and respect, sexual respect, from someone else, temporarily. Cheating is a very big thing out there. You don't hear it very often, but it is real. Getting sex from someone else, intimacy from someone else, is a very real thing. And I don't throw any shade to anyone who wants to have an extramarital affair. Not at all. I've been there. Part of the reason why I accept it. When I hear stories like this, I don't poo-poo anybody. If it goes on long enough and it's causing that much pain, and I'm talking about the sexless marriage, not the affair, you can understand why people migrate to having an affair. There are a lot of lonely people out there who just want to be held, kissed, hugged, touched, romanced, treated like a human being, like a sexual being, and they'll do anything to do it. Granted, when I did it, it took me a long time to do it, 10 years of sexlessness before I made the decision to cross over. And when I did it, I wasn't sorry for it. I was sorry that I had to do it. It wasn't what I planned to do, but I certainly wasn't sorry that I finally found the being, the other part of me, that had been slumbering for such a long time. So no, I never say negative things to anyone who has an affair, because I don't always know the information behind the reasoning. I mean, some people just go out there and do that quite easily. They would do it whether they had a sexless marriage or not. If you're in a situation where your partner, and I'm saying on both sides, it's not just men against women, it can be women against men. There are a lot of males out there who just don't bring their game to the party. They don't want to get involved with their wife for some reason. They'd much prefer to watch porn and masturbate. and they just don't want to have anything to do with the woman in their lives. That happens quite frequently. The statistics of people listening to this podcast tell me that it's almost the same amount of numbers swinging the other direction. And these women, just like the men, are in pain. Are they being abused? Do you feel like you're being abused? After listening to this podcast, are you considering that this is a form of abuse? I know you can't take it to the police or to the state authorities or to the government and say, look, I am officially abused. I need someone to help me. They're not going to do anything about it. All they're going to do is say, look, why don't you get a divorce from your spouse and find somebody who is better suited to you? And that's all very good and well, but some of us are tied together in emotional ways, physical ways, financial ways. We've got children together. Arranged marriages do happen around the world, not in my culture so much, but I do know they happen, and there's a lot of things at stake. What do you do? What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to lock yourself out of sex for the rest of your life simply because your partner doesn't want to have anything to do with you? Are you supposed to take that abuse? If you're interested in dropping me a line, contact me through wherever you got the podcast, wherever you're downloading it from right now. Quite often there's a comments section attached to it. The feed actually comes in from Spotify, which is then rebroadcast to my host's website at michaelformanwriting.com. And you can leave me a message there if you'd like to come all the way over to michaelformanwriting.com. And I'll have a look at what you write and perhaps even bring it up here on the podcast. If you want me to leave your name out of it, that's fine. I can do that. But if you feel that you're being abused because your partner denies you sex, let me know. Let me know how you feel. Let me know what you're doing about it. Have you done anything about it? Are you going to counseling? Have you talked to a priest? Have you talked to your neighbor? Your parents? Are you having an affair? What are the arrangements that you come to within yourself, knowing that your partner isn't there for you in that way? I'd like to know. And I'm sure a lot of other listeners would like to know how you're getting on in your life, because a lot of these things don't end up being spoken about in the public domain, or at least not in a sensible way. You get people on Twitter who just deny cheaters everything. You get people who say that sexless marriages don't really have to happen because if you're not happy, just get out of it. And it's all very easy for them. They're always on the outside looking in. But when you're in the middle of it all, it is not easy. You're trying to keep your shit together, show some kind of respect for your partner at the same time knowing that they don't seem to care. You find it hard to talk to them. You find it hard to relate with other people, watching them go through their lovely lives, raising children, smiling and being happy. And then you're stuck trying to figure out how to feel about yourself, about your marriage, about the long-term effects of sexlessness. And also going to work and trying to be normal there, knowing that you've got this problem to deal with every time you go home. I have talked about sexual denial on the podcast before. In fact, I think it was one of the very first podcast episodes that I put together for you. I find that people are really taken aback when it comes to using the word abuse. When we see the word abuse, it's usually associated with children, you know, people abusing children, and people abusing women. We tend to reserve the word abuse for those areas. This area, the bedroom, and not having sex is not usually a way that we apply the word abuse. We don't bring it to that context. And I think it's about time we start bringing it to the context and letting people feel the right way about how their sexless marriage is affecting them, how it's affecting you. How it affected me? Probably I didn't, in the beginning, because we had a celibate relationship prior to getting married, it was kind of cloaked in a religious backdrop. But when we got married and the sex faded away almost immediately, what we had wasn't much to start with. And when it faded, I did feel like I was being shortchanged. And then I felt guilty because I felt like that. Why would I need to feel guilty about sex? My wife's guilt towards physical intimacy started to become my guilt for physical intimacy. And I didn't need that. I was never like that. As far as I understood myself, I was never like that anyway. I simply just wanted to have good, clean sex, romance, lie together, hug, hold hands, kiss, touch toes, little things like that. But everything was off the menu. And if we looked like even remotely going to the bedroom, she would run a mile. She literally, physically put herself on the other side of me and a bed. But if I ever placed myself behind her and the door of the bedroom, she would reposition herself to be somewhere further away from the bedroom. It was a very interesting psychological study that I did in the last few years of us being married. She literally put herself further away from the bedroom so she could never feel trapped. And you're probably thinking to yourself, what did you do to her? Look, I had nothing to do with it. This is the way life was from the get-go. We had a celibate relationship. She's a staunch Catholic. And then we got married with the idea that sex would be free-flowing. And it never did. Yes, there are some issues there, I'm sure. What they are, I don't know. We were never able to address them after 7 years of counselling. And the situation never changed. Consequently, we got divorced, and my life has been that much better ever since. No, we didn't have children. We didn't have sex, so we didn't have children. It's a very simple formula. That's how bad it was. That's how terrible it was. Eventually, I wrote it down, turned it into a book, titled it Seethings, and then put it onto smashwords.com for people to read. And if you're interested in reading about a story like that, whether it was sexual abuse or not, you can go to smashwords.com and download yourself a free copy right now and decide for yourself whether you would have stayed in the marriage. Visit my website at michaelformanwriting.com and leave a message there if you wish, as I mentioned before. And if you would like to become a part of this podcast and tell me something of your story, contact me through michaelformanwriting.com and we can talk perhaps over Skype and record an audio broadcast for other listeners to enjoy. Tell us how you got into a sexless marriage, what you're doing about your sexless marriage, and if you've even decided to get out of your sexless marriage and what happened afterwards. That'd be great. Drop me a line at michaelformanwriting.com. There is an email attachment there. You can send me all the information you'd like and we can nut it out and put it on the podcast. And I apologize if you can hear bird call in the background. We've got a lot of birds flying around the house at the moment. The nature is really doing a number for me on this episode of the podcast. I've got crows somewhere out there and I've just heard one of the little silver eyes. It can be a little bit crazy here. It's not an official studio. I sit with a computer in front of me and this microphone to the left-hand side of me, and every so often I start up the little podcast mic and begin recording a track. I don't have the time to do it every single day of the week. In fact, I probably put one together every month. It's a very personal little area, isn't it? Sexless marriages. And there's only so many ways you can say that you're hurting and you're sad and you want to get laid, but you don't want to make it sound cheap or unworthy. You want to feel valued and respected in and out of the bedroom. And I don't know how you sustain that for all of your life. Because, you know, when you're in your 20s and your 30s and you find someone that you like, there's a long time left in both of your lives to go. How are you going to keep that energy and enthusiasm alive for the rest of time? Nobody says how to do that. It's kind of assumed that you just live happily ever after. It all happens automatically. But it doesn't, for a number of reasons. Mine's a very unusual situation because I married an asexual. We never had a sexual relationship before we got married, never had it during it, and we still don't have it now afterwards. Nothing really has changed. The happy story was that I left, found myself sailing the Great Sandy Straits in my yacht Last Laugh, and I found a lovely lady in Tin Can Bay, a nice little anchorage just to the south of the Great Sandy Straits. I know that you're going to rush across to Google Earth or Google Maps and have a look for Tin Can Bay and the Great Sandy Straits. But she hopped on board my boat with the idea that we would have a one-week adventure up and down the Sandy Straits and Kingfisher Bay Resort for New Year's Eve. And she took a big chance. I mean, you think about it, a female coming out onto a yacht. We don't really know each other. We've only met each other in passing. And just happened to say to her, "What are you doing this Christmas and New Year's Day?" And she said, "Well, I'm not really doing anything." I said, "Well, if you're interested, I'm sitting in Tincan Bay at the moment. If you like, come aboard and we'll go for a bit of a sailing trip. She had been on people's boats before. She knew something of yachting. And she said, oh, I'll come along. When are you leaving? And I said, well, as soon as you get here. And so she left Brisbane, put together a little pack of wine and chocolates and some other assorted things, got in her little hatchback and drove up to Tincan Bay. She parked it in the car park, got on board, and we went sailing. And by jingoes, it was like having a honeymoon all over again. No, not like having a honeymoon all over again, because we never had that honeymoon, ever once. And I'm speaking on her behalf as well as mine. I won't go into her story, because that's her story to tell you, but I never had that honeymoon. We went down into the boat for the first night and didn't come up for 2 weeks. We were both sexually starved, and I think we were both surprised at how active we could become just by having the right sexual partner in the bed with us. And we've been together ever since, and that's been, 2007, I think, is when we... 2006 is when we met. So whenever you're listening to this podcast, I can guarantee you we're still together. It was recorded in 2022. This podcast will probably be around for a lot longer after that, but that's how long we've been together. And it's been absolutely fantastic. And I would encourage you, if you have a way of getting out of your marriage, to do so. The question is, do you have a way? It's not always easy, is it? Okay. That's this podcast done and dusted. I hope you got something out of it. I've given you my podcast details. I've given you my website details. All you need to do is drop me a line and tell me what you're up to. Anyway, this is Michael Forman, author, signing off. Just remember, it can always rain on your parade. See you later.